Hallelujah. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, the 8th chapter and verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22.
Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then there is no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people?
Is there no balm in Gilead? And is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Amen. Is there no balm, healing in Gilead, which means worship? Tonight, I want to lay a foundation for the message called worship. Amen. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing in worship? You know, the Bible is a book of worship. The Bible begins with the word, "In the beginning, God." The whole emphasis was on God. In the beginning, God. When you read the Bible, you will find right from Genesis to Revelation, everyone who served the Lord or everyone whom God called, one quality which all of them had was that they were all worshippers. Amen. I believe God is calling His church back to an intimacy with Him. And that comes in worship. The book of Revelation ends with worship. The angels of God in heaven are worshiping the Lord. Abel was killed by Cain because Cain was envious of Abel and over his worship. When the flood ceased and when Noah came out of the ark, the first thing that he did was to build an altar and worship the Lord. And the Lord smelled the burnt offering and said, "I will no longer destroy the earth with water." Abraham, born in an idol-worshipping family, left idols to worship the living God. Amen. Abraham's son Isaac was a worshipper. When you study the book of Genesis, the 26th chapter, in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 21, it says that Isaac's son Jacob, even in his old age, he leaned on the staff and worshipped his God and gave up his spirit. What a way to go to be with the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Amen. God committed in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, priest. And the number one priority of the priest was to worship the Lord. It was not to serve the people. There are too many preachers, too many teachers, too many servants of God who would love to preach, who would love to teach. But the cry of my heart is that I, Lord, would be a worshiper of you. Sometimes people ask, which comes first, work or worship? Worship. Amen. Worship. Worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Worship comes first. Even serving the Lord or working for the Lord comes second. Look at Exodus 28 and verse 1. Exodus 28 verse 1.
"Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel. that he may minister to me as priest.
That he may minister unto me. It was not about serving people. The Lord said, my ministers, they should minister unto me. You remember in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, the eldest son, when he was afar, he heard, when he came nearer, he heard the sound of worship going on in the father's house. Because the younger son had returned, there was a sound of music and dancing. God's people dance. Amen. I don't hear an amen to that. Amen. The son, the elder son, actually heard the sound of music and dancing in the father's house. There was much rejoicing. The sound of celebration going on. The father was throwing a party. And there was celebration going on. There was music and dancing. You go to a house of God, you need to find music and dancing unto the Lord. Amen. And you know what the elder son came and said to the... you know what he said in the book of Luke 15? He said, all these years I've served you. Can you imagine that? He put work first before worship. He said, Father, all these years I've been faithfully serving you, but you never celebrated with me. You never killed a calf for me. You never did anything for me. All these years, I was serving you. God is not looking for people who are serving him. God is looking for people who are worshiping him, who are ministering unto him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The early church, it says in Acts 13, the church in Antioch, the early church in Acts 13, 1 to 4, you will find there were prophets and teachers in that house or in that church. Paul was there, Barnabas was there, and while they were fasting and worshiping the Lord. Sometimes people say, fast and pray, fast and pray. But the time is coming when God is calling his church to actually fast and worship him. Amen. The early church at Antioch were fasting and worshiping unto the Lord. Can you imagine that? There were prophets and teachers there. The Bible says that. And you would expect going into a church where Paul is sitting, where Barnabas is sitting, some of the greatest scholars of God's word are sitting there, some of the greatest men after God's own heart are sitting there. You would expect to hear a prophecy. You would expect to hear a nice teaching. You would expect to hear something, you know, powerful from God's word being ministered. But no, they were fasting and worshiping unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Worship comes before work. God is looking for people who are willing to worship him. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what is worship? Someone said, it is an overflow of a grateful heart. It's an overflow of a grateful heart. Another man of God said, worship is a feeling that comes from the heart that is resting in the presence of God. You are actually resting. There is no turmoil. You are resting in the Lord. You are not troubled inside. You have come to that place of offering your sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise and hallelujahs and speaking in tongues and all that. And then you've come to a place of just feeling the closeness of God and resting in his presence where your heart is at peace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Worship is contemplating on God alone. Today we have a lot of worship teams across the world. We have powerful worship ministries that have been instrumental in revival in Australia and New Zealand with the Hillsong. And you know, I mean, some of the greatest worshiping ministries that have come out in Europe that is bringing in a great harvest of souls. But one of the things that I've found amidst all that the Lord is doing there is that people are so occupied or looking at the worshippers. And especially if you watch a Hillsong video, you will find only beautiful people on stage. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I was in, when I was in London, I went to the Hillsong church there. And you know, the person who was with me said, you know, people love to go there because there are only beautiful people here. You go to that church, everyone is good looking, everyone is dressed smart, everybody is singing nice, not much of teaching, not much of preaching, but you just love to look. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But worship is not looking at the worship leader or at the worshiping team or at the choir or at the preacher. It is contemplating and looking on Jesus and 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 Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Somebody said worship means worship. Somebody defined worship as worship. Not like Titanic, not that ship. Worship. Worship. Worship is worship. Revelations 4, verse 11. The vision that John had in of heaven, where the elders, the angels, the redeemed of the Lord are all singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Praise God. He alone is worthy. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, alone is worthy to receive all glory, all honor, and all praise. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel, alone is worthy. Worship is telling, Lord, you alone are worthy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You alone are worthy, Lord. There is no one else to take your place. Amen. There is nothing else in my heart. There is nothing else in my mind. There is nothing else in my life that is not more important than you. Jesus, you deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor. You alone are worthy to receive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, Jesus alone is worthy. In other words, he is the center of attraction. Jesus alone is the center of attraction. Is anybody attracted to Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was attracted to Jesus Christ. As a 20-year-old boy, I was attracted to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. I want to serve you. If I worship, I want to worship you alone. If I live, I want to live for you. If I die, I want to die for you. Whether I live or I die, Jesus, I belong to you. God is looking for people who are attracted to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 15 സുന്ദരനാണ് എന്ന് സോങ് ഓഫ് സോങ്സിൽ പറഞ്ഞു. 15 സുന്ദരൻ. പ്രൈസ് ദ ലോർഡ്. ഹല്ലേലൂയ. അവനെ പോലെ മറ്റാരുമില്ല. അവർ ലോർഡ് ആൻഡ് സേവിയർ ജീസസ് ക്രൈസ്റ്റ്. ഹല്ലേലൂയ. ടു ബി അട്രാക്റ്റഡ് ടു ജീസസ് ക്രൈസ്റ്റ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് വർഷിപ്പ് ഇസ് ഓൾ അബൌട്ട്. ആമേൻ. ഹല്ലേലൂയ. വൈ ഡിഡ് ദ ഏർലി ചർച്ച് ഗ്രോ? Was it because of the teachings? Powerful teachings? Was it because of the teachings? Why did the early church grow? An amazing scripture, Acts 2, verse 47. It says there, they were praising God continually. Amen. And the Lord added unto them everyone who was being saved. The early church, the church in Jerusalem, put worship first. They were praising God. Today we hear a lot of messages about, you know, how you need to preach a lot of the word. Definitely, I am a minister of the gospel who preaches the word. I believe that there is only one medium through which people will be touched, and that is the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Like Oral Roberts said, I believe the Bible so much, I even believe the maps. The maps in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the early church grew not because of the preachings and the teachings, but because people were continuously praising God, because of the atmosphere of worship. Everybody said, why are these people praising? Everybody's attracted to Jesus Christ. Everybody's attracted to Jesus Christ. Everybody's attracted to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want the worshipers in this church to make people attracted to Jesus Christ. It is not about the worship leader. It is not about the preacher. It is not about the pastor. It is not about somebody else sitting next to you. It is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are attracted to Him. His praise shall be on our lips continuously. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. To be a true worshiper, what should you have? To be a true worshiper, what should you have? Love. Worship can only come forth from a heart of love. Worship is not about offering your lip service, where you look at the watch, sing a few songs and say, when is the preacher going to come and preach? Then I want to go home because I got a movie to go to. It's not that. It is about love. Do you love Jesus? In Psalms 45 it says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. My heart. See, your heart has to overflow in your love for Jesus to overflow from your heart. He is your theme. Your heart has to overflow with a good theme. Love. Jesus, when Peter and the disciples had gone fishing and Jesus came to them, and when Jesus was restoring Peter back to ministry, the only thing that the Lord asked him was, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than all this? You hear that? In John 21, Jesus went to the cross, he died, he rose again. He came to his favorite disciples, he can't see any one of them. They've gone back fishing. Jesus comes, helps them to get a good catch. He's already got a barbecue for them. He's calling them to the fireside and he's asking, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than all this? Now we can read through those three times Jesus asked. But if you look at those scriptures, each time the emphasis was on something. In John 21 verse 15, the first time when Jesus asked, he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than all these? Your net, your fishing boat, your friends. See, the emphasis is on all these. Do you love me more than all these? Do you love me more than your net, your work, your profession, your career, your friends? The gang that you hang out with? But you love me more than all these. Sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, yeah, I don't watch a movie. You know, sometimes there are some religious people, very religious people. They come and say, Pastor, I don't watch a movie. I don't like new clothes. I don't like anything fancy. I'm a very simple person. I don't have a TV at home. I actually met somebody who doesn't have a TV at home. Praise God. Hallelujah. I actually met somebody. I mean, it's quite an amazing thing to find. It's like a miracle. To find somebody at these times without a TV at home. He said, I don't even have a TV at home. Not because he couldn't afford it. He said, because I want to keep my focus on Jesus. He said, I don't have anything. You know what the emphasis was on the second time? Sometimes you might not love those things. The second time Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? You might not love Tom, Dick and Harry and everything else around in your career and your business and your house and your construction and all that. You might not love all that. It is okay. That doesn't matter. But what I want to know is, even if you don't love any of those things, it doesn't matter. Do you love me? Me. The emphasis was on Jesus. Me. Do you love me? Praise the Lord. Because the Lord, the only worshippers, people who love Jesus can ever serve him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Characteristic of a true Christian is always love for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me ask you tonight, what do you love? Whom do you love? Is Jesus the passion of your life? Is Jesus the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith? Is he the most important thing in your life? Do you really, 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 really love him? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. The characteristic of a true worshiper is love. Worship can only come forth from a heart of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, help me to love Jesus. Holy Spirit, help me to love Jesus. Say that as a prayer from your heart. Help me to love Jesus. Help me to follow after Jesus. Holy Spirit, help me to follow after Jesus. Amen. Now, many people I've seen are unable to worship the Lord. Why? The hindrances to worship. The number one hindrance that I've seen why people can't worship the Lord is what is called pride. Pride. Lucifer was one of the angels in heaven. He was actually the worship leader in heaven. He was the one who was supposed to ascribe to the Lord glory and honor. But the Bible says, when pride entered his heart, when he did not want to give the Lord glory, but when he wanted glory for himself, it happens to ministers of the gospel. They step out wanting to give glory to Jesus, but somewhere down the line, self-exaltation happens. You want to take the glory that has to go forth for the Lord. And so no longer does the Lord show up after a period when you don't give him the glory in your ministry. You lose his, that tangible presence that was around you. Pride. You become conceited where you expect others to appreciate you so much that you don't appreciate the Lord yourself. Look at somebody and say, proud people can't worship Jesus. Don't be proud. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That which made an angel Satan is pride. Angels can become demonic when pride comes. In Acts chapter 3, you will find Peter and John while they were going to worship the Lord, while they were going into the temple. At the time of the evening sacrifice or noonday prayer or whatever you call it, they saw a man who was sitting there who was lame from birth. They said, silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This man leapt. He jumped up. He began to walk. You remember that? Amen. And people began to come around Peter and John and say, listen, wow, look at the servants of God. Wow, what an anointing. But look at 3rd chapter verses 12 and 13. What these people had to say. Acts chapter 3, the disciples of Jesus, this is what they said. Acts 3, 12 and 13.
So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus."
Look at that. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus. See, if it was some of the ministers of today, avaru parayane, oh seriya korchu divasam njangal ubhosichokke prarthichondirikkuvayirunnu, brotherae brotherinu vendi prarthikkuvayirunnu, sisterae sisterinu vendi prarthikkuvayirunnu, deivam nallum prarthana kettallo vishayathinu parihaaram kittiyallo. Who gets the glory? You proud little who gets the glory? Here is a miracle that is done, and they are saying, listen, it's not by our holiness, not by a prayer or anything that of us, but this is because the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, wanted to give glory to his son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, give Jesus the glory and the honor tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at the humility of those servants of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, David was king. And when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back into Jerusalem, David takes off his kingly robes and he's standing in front of the Ark and dancing unto the Lord. Look at the humility of the king, David. So much so that his wife, Saul's daughter, looked through the window, saw David, her husband, dancing and said, "Hey, cheche, cheche, cheche. Why is he acting like a common man? Does not he know he's the king?" When revival broke out in Cali, Colombia, one of the four documented revivals in the world, in Cali, Colombia, where the man of God whom God used, he says, I'll be saying about that later on next week too. He said, when the presence of God began to come down in front of the podium or whatever, it was the mayor of the city, the police, when the revival broke out, the police had no work for up to 15 days. In Cali, Colombia, drug mafia de Salawa. Revival broke out there. The police didn't have work to do. They took holiday. There was no need of them coming to the police station. And all of these guys were in front, dancing and worshipping the Lord, the mayor, everyone. David as king, he could have sat there and said, I'm the king, come on. I'm just an IAS officer, I'm an IPS officer, I'm a minister. Do you know which family I come from? You know who I am, where I am, what I am. Now that's a pride, that's a proud attitude, that's conceit. But when you can come to a point where it says, it doesn't matter who is around me, hallelujah, I am here to worship Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of Jesus. I will dance unto him. I will sing unto him. I will clap unto him. I will make a joyful noise unto him. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. I will give him all the glory and the honor. He alone deserves the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. The wise men, the kings, the wise men who came to visit baby Jesus, knelt down and worshiped. Can you imagine that? That's why they were wise men. Wise men still worship Jesus. Last year I was preaching in the oldest Rotary Club. For their Christmas celebration. So I was in one of those 5-star hotels. They called me and said, give us a nice, smallish, short and sweet Christian Christmas message. I gave them a nice and short hallelujah gospel message. And I said one thing. The Holy Spirit told me, wise men still worship Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What is the second hindrance to worship? Faulty interpersonal relationship. Matthew chapter 5, 23-24. Matthew 5, 23-24.
Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift.
See, when you come to offer your sacrifice at the altar, if you think that your brother has anything against you, first leave your gift. Go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and worship. Sometimes you look at people who are kind of stuck. They can't worship, they're kind of stuck up. You look at them. Why? The relationships are not right. They harbor unforgiveness, bitterness. They are not reconciled with their brother or sister. Too much of unforgiveness in their spirit, in their heart. And how do you expect God to move for you? How do you expect God to act for you? How can you be a worshiper? Nothing will come forth from your inner being. Maybe you can sing a few songs, fool a few people, clap a few claps, look cute and nice, and then go back home. But if you really want to be a worshiper, you have to make sure that you're forgiven everybody. Hallelujah. That there is no animosity, no bitterness. Your relationships are right in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. Then you will be able to come and really worship Him from your heart. There will be a spring in your steps. There will be a leap in your movements. Hallelujah. You will be excited about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and give glory to Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 John 4, verses 20 and 21. If anyone says he loves God but hateth his brother, if anyone says he loves God but hateth his brother, if you say you love Jesus but you don't like somebody else, worship cannot come forth from your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. ചിലവരെയും പാർത്തുക, പാസ്റ്ററെ ദൈവത്തോട് വലിയ സ്നേഹം എനിക്ക്, പക്ഷെ ഇന്നയാളെ എനിക്ക് കണ്ടുകൂടാ, അല്ലെ വീട്ടിലേക്ക് വരുന്ന എനിക്ക് സഹിക്കത്തില്ല. യു ആർ ഫോൾസ്. യു ആർ നോട്ട് എ ഡിസൈപ്പിൾ ഓഫ് ജീസസ്. Because if you want to be a true worshipper of Jesus Christ, you will be able to love the Lord and love everyone whom God has put around you. No matter how tough they are, how bad they are, how much they have ill-treated you, how abusive they are, you will forgive and love them because Jesus matters, hallelujah, to your life, and Jesus is important to your life. Only a worshipper of Jesus Christ can actually go and say, I'm sorry, if I've hurt you, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Many people spend hours in prayer, but they don't see results. Why? Because in their relationships there is unforgiveness. Even in their family life, the husband and the wife and the children cannot sit together in love. They come to church. You cannot look at a brother or sister. You're busy clapping your hands and in between also. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight I want to speak a healing in your relationships. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The third reason is Isaiah 29 verse 13. Isaiah 29 verse 13.
Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me.
See, these people honor me with their lips, but they have removed their heart far from me. Hypocrisy. Your heart is far away, your lips are there. The word hypocrisy, actually in Greek, it's got a picture. It says wearing a mask. Have you seen people all through the week? They won't pray, they won't read the Bible, they won't worship Jesus, they won't do anything. And on Sunday, at least on Sunday, thank God for that, but they want to come to church, and so they come. Or on a Friday they want to come, they come. And they're fighting with whoever they're coming with in the car all the way through. And when they are about to reach here, immediately they put a mask. Then it's like, Prakoshi Prakyanto Kuriski Mandiatikska. Years back I said, if you're born again, if you're saved, even your dog or your cat will know. Till then you're saying, Popuche. I'll say, Uchen. So that's a difference, I would think. Even the way you deal with people around you, in your workplace, with people who work with you, servants, your neighbors, everything changes, because what matters to you is that you want to worship Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still here tonight? Amen. Anybody want to be a worshiper of Jesus? Hallelujah. The fourth hindrance to worship is what is called worry. Worry. It is one of Satan's biggest tricks to make a worshiper into a worrying Christian. Always worry. So worried that you can't even pray. So worried and anxious that you can't even sing. What will happen to my life? What will happen with my family? What will happen with my finance? What will happen here? What will happen there? What will happen with my spiritual life? I mean, just concern, just worry, just panic attacks, just... It's a trick of the devil. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, let that bondage be broken off from your life in the name of Jesus tonight. May the peace of God guard your heart and your mind to be a worshiper of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. The fifth one is what is called unbelief. Avishwasam. Unbelief. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Everyone who seeks him should know that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. My God is a rewarder. Amen. Hallelujah. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you are seeking him in worship, you need faith. Have you seen sometimes believers ask, why pray, yaar? Why sing? I like the preacher. Let's go for the message. Huh? After those singing and all those noises over, we'll go there. No. Your healing is in your worship. God wants you to be a worshiper. God has called you to be a worshiper. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 16 verse 14. Lydia, a purple cloth merchant. She was a worshiper of God. And God opened her heart to hear and understand the teaching that was being preached through Paul. Worship will prepare your heart to receive the word. Acts 18 verse 7. There was a man called Justus. His house was next to the synagogue. And the Bible says that he was a worshiper of God. And Paul stayed with him for a year and a half, preaching the word from there, because he was a worshiper. The sixth one, hindrance, idol worship. Idols. Idolatry. Idol means anything that you substitute for Jesus. It can be anything. You don't need to actually worship a stone or a statue or whatever. That is wrong. Definitely don't do it. But it can be anything. Anything that you've substituted for Jesus Christ. That's an idol. Anything that has taken the place of Jesus in your life is an idol. The seventh thing, hindrance to worship, is too much of sensual pleasure. Once I was working out in the gym. There was a lady working out next to me. She said to me, Pastor, I was at your church last week. But I sat there and slept. So I was, walking out. So I said, yeah, if you stop taking those ecstasy tablets in the night on Saturday, you won't sleep. Then she looked at me and said, how do you know that I take that? Too much of sensual pleasure. You walk in the flesh and then you try worshiping. The seventh one, slothfulness. A lazy man cannot be a real worshiper. Genesis 22, it says there, in Genesis 22, it says there, in the fifth verse, Abraham is saying to the servants, me and the lad, we will go yonder and worship the Lord. But in the fourth verse says, Abraham got up early in the morning and he cut the wood. Abraham is a rich man, the richest man at that time. The Bible says he had over 300 servants born in his house. Not even Bill Gates has that. The Ambani brothers or Tata, whoever. They don't have that. 300, they might have 300 servants, but not 300 servants born in his house. That is how rich Abraham was. He could have said to one of them, "Eda raavile veragakka murichu vechakane. Idu aaradhaneyundu, prarthanaykku povanundu." No. He got up because he knew it was for him to worship the Lord. He said, I have to prepare. I can't be lazy. I have to cut the wood for my sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have to cut the wood for the sacrifice. നമ്മളെല്ലാം പറയല്ലേ, ഇനി ഞാൻ പാട്ട് പുസ്തകമൊക്കെ എടുത്തോണേ, ബൈബിളൊക്കെ എടുത്തോണം, പ്രാർത്ഥനയ്ക്ക് പോകും, ആരാധിക്കും. We expect somebody else to cut the wood. Do you know that my worshiping team here, how they prepare themselves before they lead worship here? And some of you guys come here and just partake and enjoy there and go. But it's time for you to rise up and cut your own wood and say, we're going to be together. I'm going to offer my worship also. Hallelujah. It's the living God. It is Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to cut our own wood and worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Lack of Bible knowledge, the 8th one. And I close with this. The lack of Bible knowledge. The hindrance to worship. Jesus said in Matthew 15, you have followed after the traditions of men. People who don't read the Bible, understand from God's word, they can hardly worship. Can you imagine? The first time, you know, I was one of the people whom I know, he came to me once years back and he said, you know, one of my nephews, he became a Pentecost years back in Dubai. So we were all worried for him. So he said, he's a strong Catholic. So he said, I went to get him back to the Catholic Church. So I went there. And when I went there, his, you know, friend said he's gone for worship. So I said, where is that place? He said, I went to that place and I got scared. I couldn't say a word. The way they were worshiping, the noise and the sound and the power. He said, I had never seen anything like that. I mean, it can be quite a shock. You come into a place like this. You come forth from a traditional religion or from a background. You come and suddenly there are people saying, and clapping their hands and going crazy. Oh boy, did I get into a wrong place? I mean, what is this? I mean, but read the Bible. It's there. Hallelujah. Amen. There will never be anything unscriptural or unbiblical that will be done from the pulpit here. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. A proper understanding of God's word, the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, will give you the heart to worship Him. Amen. And the biggest opposition to worship is the devil. Because he can't worship the Lord now. And because he was in the worshiping ministry before, he hates anybody else who is in the worship ministry and who worships the Lord. So he will make sure that you are distracted. Look at that flower there. Look out. Look at the stars. Look at somebody else's hair. It's the devil. Tonight, Jesus is going to give you victory over all that if you really want to be a worshiper of Him. Amen. Let's close our eyes in prayer tonight.